The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Hey, did you know October is Clergy Appreciation Month? Woohoo! Of course, along with some more serious designations such as Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Filipino American History Month, and Domestic Violence Awareness Month, October is also National Pizza Month, Spinach Month, and Bat Appreciation Month. And yes, I said bat, as in the winged mammal we often find flying around here, and one of which is hanging over there, no longer living, on one of the pews. All those designations and celebrations are a lot to keep track of. Now, most of us would agree that noticing, honoring, and appreciating people and things is a worthwhile endeavor. While I can't speak for pizza, spinach, and bats, I can say that we humans tend to want to be valued. I mean, raise your hand if you enjoy being taken for granted. Anyone? Of course not. We want, need, thanks. We want, need to hear at least an occasional, "Good job, we couldn't do this without you." And we want, need this from our spouse, our kids, our boss, the organizations to which we contribute our money, our time, and our energy, from the next door neighbor we help regularly, or the friend we're always there for. But you know who is not going to offer us kudos? Jesus, apparently. That seems to be the vibe of today's gospel reading, at least. Now, our passage from the 17th chapter of Luke starts out innocently enough, as we are told that the apostles ask something of Jesus. They want him to increase their faith. This isn't an unreasonable request, given what Jesus has had to say to his apostles recently. He's been doing a lot of teaching about discipleship, what it looks like, what it entails. For example, right before our reading from Luke for today, Jesus warns the disciples that they must be on guard, lest they cause someone else to sin. "It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to sin," he says. And then Jesus follows up on that lovely image by telling the disciples that they must forgive someone over and over, even when that person repeatedly sins against them. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, "I repent," you must forgive. That's pretty daunting stuff. Don't ever mess up, by messing other people up. Keep forgiving people, no matter how much or how often they hurt you, if they repent. And so it really shouldn't be surprising that after hearing Jesus' very high expectations for them, the group gathered around him wants his help to do all of this. Increase our faith, they ask. And actually, the apostles don't really ask. They don't politely inquire whether Jesus would be willing to help them out. Please, Lord, could you give us what we need to live as you want us to live? We'd be ever so grateful. No, instead, the apostles demand this of Jesus, command him to give them faith. Do it, is the tone of the original Greek here. Do it. They order Jesus. Maybe their presumptuousness is what causes Jesus to respond in such a dismissive manner, because Jesus pretty much blows off the apostles' request. He doesn't give them advice on how to grow their faith or nurture their relationship with God. He doesn't express sympathy for how hard it is to be one of his disciples, you know, with all that cross-carrying and everything. And Jesus comes across as annoyed that they're ordering him around, and so he rather matter-of-factly tells them, you have enough. Whatever you think you need or want, faith the size of a mustard seed, one of the tiniest seeds around, is enough to do great things. And then Jesus proceeds to really lay it on them. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink, later you may eat and drink? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. That would be a great slogan for an appreciation gift, don't you think? Wouldn't you just love to get a coffee mug or a t-shirt or refrigerator magnet that says, no thanks to you, worthless slave, you've only done what you were supposed to do. Jesus cuts deeply here, challenging any sense of self-importance or self-admiration we might have. Lest we think that when we have done good, we have gone above and beyond the call of duty, Jesus makes it abundantly clear. Doing good is our duty, our job. It's what's expected of us, children of God, what's demanded of us. When we love our neighbor, when we speak up for the vulnerable, when we feed the hungry, when we forgive someone who's betrayed us, when we donate supplies for Lutheran World Relief school kits, show up for choir rehearsal on yet another Thursday evening, come early to worship, to set up communion, and stay after to clean up, when we sew a quilt, volunteer to water the new grass seed out there, agree to lead a faith formation class, invite our new neighbor to worship, deliver a casserole to someone just home from the hospital. We have only done what we ought to have done. Now, perhaps this sounds like tough news from Jesus, but I think it's still good news. Because it's the news that God needs every single one of us, every single one of us, to go to work, to do the jobs we have been commissioned to do in the waters of baptism. These often aren't very glamorous jobs. You heard my examples, right? But then again, the master we follow wasn't really into glamorous jobs either. He is the one who touched lepers and healed them, the one who ministered to the riffraff of society, who walked dusty country roads telling people God loves them, who kneeled on the floor and washed the dirty feet of his disciples, who gave himself up to be nailed to a cross to die for the world's redemption. And Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our Healer, our Holy Servant, and our Holy Host at that table, is the one who assures us when we worry about whether we have enough faith or the right faith or we want more faith, you're fine. Just do your job. And know that by the grace of God, it will be enough.